I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, it's our ongoing celebration of National Poetry Month. We'll have a poetry moment, thoughts about life with and without mother. That's a little later. But first, President Obama returns today from a week-long trip to Europe where he addressed a range of foreign policy issues, including the ongoing wars in Afghanistan and Iraq and a missile strike launched by North Korea. But looming over all was the global recession. We'll hear more about the ongoing impact of the recession back here in the U.S. in just a few minutes. But we're going to start with the international story. Since the president's trip started with a Group of 20 summit, where a $1.1 trillion plan aimed at boosting capital to the International Monetary Fund was unveiled. Here to talk more about all this is our Tell Me More personal finance expert, Alvin Hall, and international business editor for the New York Times, Marcus Mabry. They're both in New York. Thank you both so much, gentlemen.
Hello.
Glad to be here.
Marcus, there were great expectations for the president going into the G20 summit, probably because just the circumstances are such that people are looking for any kind of good news. The president had been pushing the European Union to put more money into stimulus packages and so forth, but he didn't get much support on this front. Why do you think that was?
Well, the Europeans have a different obsession and preoccupation than the Americans do. And their obsession, their preoccupation is with the structure of global finance and especially the regulation of global finance. They feel like the reason we're in this horrible global economic mess we're in is because in the U.S. we were not regulating enough our capital. And because capital is international, that meaning money moves across boundaries, but there's very little global authority that moves with that money. So money can go wherever it likes to with very little regulation, actually, and can chase countries with the least regulation that, you know, because we have a global economy, if something goes wrong in one country, it goes wrong in every country, and that's what we're experiencing. So the Europeans think that must be changed. The Americans think that you don't have a future if you don't recover from the horrible downturn we're all suffering right now. So the Americans say it should be the stimulus in each country, which is dedicated to keeping us from going even lower, or at least as low as we could go in the economic situation. That should be the first priority.
Did the president have any successes that he can point to?
Well, it's ironic, you know, because the markets could have reacted much more negatively to the summit, and so could the pundits have, and they really didn't. I was a little bit surprised by that. There was not much concrete that came out of this. There was a communique, as there always is, saying that we are all dedicated to both better regulation of capital markets, and also we're also dedicated to stimulating our economies to keep our citizens from suffering too much during this recession. Those were not very concrete things, however. The only concrete thing to come out of this was the $1.1 trillion that would be given to the IMF to or further their capacity to help other countries, middle class, middle-income, and lower-income countries that need it because of the global economic downturn, because they're being starved for capital, because all the capital is coming here to invest in U.S. bonds, which are considered still to be the most secure investment there is. So that is tangible, but that's not very much, and that's hardly enough to make us believe that this global economic downturn will not get a lot more painful, and I'm pretty sure it is going to get a lot more painful, certainly when it comes to unemployment in the United States.
I want to hear more about what that $1.1 trillion will do, but Alvin, I want to get your assessment of the president's trip. Did you think anything was accomplished?
I thought he came to Europe and made the Europeans feel comfortable with him. I think they were willing to listen to him without the skepticism that had come with George Bush. And I think that led them to come together to pull to contribute this $1.1 trillion. I think that being an American and focus, as Marcus says, on the markets and the stimulus package is something that I don't think he realized that the Europeans weren't that keenly interested in. I think Marcus is right. They were much more interested in establishing a global regulatory body. But I think Europe is, in general, has a much more socialist bent than America. And I think we saw that come out in some of their reactions to some of his proposals.
But that's not exactly news, that there is a very different philosophical perspective here. You can look at the parties these leaders belong to, the platforms on which they ran, and know that.
I think that Sarkozy's comments showed that they were actually approaching this expecting to be a little bit more strong, a little bit more stubborn. But I think Obama charmed them in a way that was good. So there was a relaxation of the opposition that we had seen in the past with George Bush. And I think that was a direct result of Obama's charm.
I think the Europeans wanted to actually be more obstinate. But in fact, as Alvin said, Obama is more popular with their own populaces than the French president or the German president or the UK prime minister.
So, Marcus, what will that $1.1 trillion be used for?
The countries that the IMF money will help will be a whole bunch of countries in Eastern Europe, which is why it's in Europe's interest to give more money themselves, because if it weren't the IMF, then the Europeans themselves, Western Europe, would end up helping those countries. Hungary has already taken a massive amount of money from the IMF, but there'll be other countries like Poland that are in great need, and other Eastern European countries, all the Baltic states, Latvia, Estonia, Lithuania, they're all in vast trouble. These are all countries that borrowed in foreign currencies, their own currencies collapsed, and now they owe even more money than they used to owe before, and they can't pay it back. And there are a whole bunch of countries, a swath of countries in Africa and Latin America potentially, that could also need aid as international capital that used to flow to these countries. And look, over the last few decades, it was globalism. It was international trade, international capital that lifted 1 billion people, estimated, out of poverty, especially in Asia, in countries like China, that made a kind of middle class or lower middle class. Without that capital now, that capital is being starved from most of those economies, those people are at risk of falling back into poverty. So I think it'll be those countries that will benefit the most.
And isn't there also the risk that there could be a slight anti-American backlash in those countries, feeling that the problem started in America, America offered all these promises, and now it's gone?
Absolutely. And there was even some discussion of the Washington triumphalism is over. I don't think that's quite true. I think the Washington agenda in the post-communist world is still the only game we got in town, which is what we're seeing right now in the global economic scene. But it's absolutely true that there has been a backlash. And I think even among major European economies, there was the threat, and there still is a threat, of a backlash saying this all started in America.
Let me just jump in for a minute to say, if you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm speaking with Alvin Hall, our regular contributor on matters of the economy and personal finance, and New York Times international business editor Marcus Mabry. We're reviewing President Obama's trip to Europe, where he talked about the global economic crisis. Marcus, you were talking about a backlash, but isn't the IMF a kind of a polarizing entity in many of these countries? So how will we know whether this money is actually going to be effective rather than a cause of more hostility?
Well, it's one of the ironies of this economic crisis that we're dealing with. All of a sudden, the IMF is actually most favored sibling at this point. We find both the countries that have been subject to structural reforms imposed by the IMF in the past, which did have to do all kinds of things that were, in the long run, not exactly healthy for their economy or for their citizens. They had to cut social spending, countries that needed to actually increase social spending and social safety net and health care and education, that kind of thing. Countries that got out of agriculture and ended up importing lots of subsidized, as it were, Western European and American agricultural products, and destroying their own local agriculture. So those were negative things. But what we're seeing is, at this point, they're in this crisis. The greatest hunger there is right now is for capital. It is for international money to come in and help you build your country if you're a developing nation. And so suddenly the IMF is not nearly viewed as negatively as it was, either by those countries nor by the Western countries who used to also poo-poo the IMF. Mm-hmm. Suddenly they don't want to be paying all the money directly from their own pocket to help the developing world. So they do see there is a crisis here and a risk. And because we're one planet, when people are in trouble and in dire straits in the southern part of the globe, they will often move to the northern part of the globe, so it becomes a global problem. And they will also alleviate and stave off that possibility in the northern countries.
Both of you mentioned at the beginning of our conversation that a lot of people believe that this recession started in the U.S. Does the rest of the world have confidence in America's leadership to get us out of this recession?
I think they have confidence that America is going to try various things to get us out. I'm not sure that they know what will be successful and what will fail, but I think Barack Obama has enough leeway, I think actually more so in the international markets than he probably has at home, to try various things. And if it doesn't work out, I think in the international arena, they will stand behind him. At home, I think, given the rising unemployment, that people may gradually get tired. They like his charm. They like the positive way he's speaking about America. He is certainly touching on a sort of Reagan-era idea of hope. But as the numbers keep growing and worse, they have to go back and revise former unemployment figures. It doesn't sound very positive.
Hmm. Overall, how would each of you evaluate Mr. Obama's first foray on the international scene in a big way as president? Do you think he accomplished anything?
Well, I'd have to say yes. I mean, I think he actually, again, although I don't think there was a great deal that came out of the G20 summit, I think, as Alvin said, kind of reinstilling this different view of America, a kind of a faith almost in America, a hope in America, a positive view, even a positive view at all, in America, I think was quite an extraordinary thing. I think that's what you saw, the response of the European populace, especially this president. They have not felt this way about our country, meaning positively, in a long time. And I thought that was kind of spectacular. I think the international icon that Michelle Obama is becoming also, I think, is incredibly powerful, I think, to people of color around the world, but also to white people around the world. It was very, very clear in countries like France and in countries like the UK. So I think this is a new era in our country. And I think the global economic crisis doesn't take any of that away from this president. But I think, again, there's a lot more to do as far as concrete proposals and changes. And, you know, the fact is most of that will probably not happen on an international, you know, global summit stage. It will happen in real life and real economic policy here at home in Washington.
Alan, final thought?
My feeling is that he's helping Americans deal with uncertainty. Americans and generally haven't had to deal with this. We set our goals, we go and get our goals, everything is known, we can achieve. Now we've moved into an era where everything we try, we don't know if it's going to succeed or fail. We don't like the fact that we don't know what's going to happen to GM. I think he is really helping Americans move forward with that positive faith that is so American, but yet at the same time accept that these uncertainties will have to exist for a while before things are corrected.
We're going to talk more about the situation here at home and how the recession is affecting small business owners. So we're going to ask our regular contributor on matters of personal finance and the economy, Alvin Hall, to stay with us. But Marcus Mabry, we're going to say goodbye to you and thank you. Marcus Mabry is the New York Times International Business Editor. He joined us from our New York Bureau. Thank you so much.
Thank you.